settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Vic and Sylvie Avery.
Well, hello, I'm Sylvie Avery, and welcome to Spirits Work, where for the next hour we'll be bridging the gap between the physical world and the afterlife when spirit guide Gregory Hay communicates with us through Mick's incredible gift of deep trance channeling. And as usual on the show, spirit guide Gregory will borrow Mick's body to bring us information that will expand your knowledge about life on Earth, the universe, and other dimensions. And if you have a question that you would like to ask Gregory, then it's a general question. It's not a reading style situation. So if you have any general question that you would like to ask a spirit guide, then you can phone in. It's free phone. USA and Canada is 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll free, but it's only a quick call. And the number is 001-530-876-3222. And if you have any email questions that you would like to send in prior to the shows every Sunday, then you can do that at any time in the week to me, Sylvie, at enq@spirit-teaching.com. So I'll hand you over to Mick now.
Well, hi, that's me then. Hello, I'm Mick Avery. And as ever, we welcome you to Spirit's Work, live on bbsradio.com every Sunday at 1 p.m. EST. That's 10 a.m. PST, 6 p.m. GMT. If you'd like to know more about us, we suggest you go visit our websites, which are at www.spirit-teaching.com. Also, live at spiritsworkradio.com. And for those in Europe, mickavery.com. Now, as Sylvie said, I'm a deep trance medium, which means I'm a pure channel for the spirit world, enabling clear, concise communication from those who continue to walk with us and who try to look after us. Now, in this way, each week on our show, Sylvie has a conversation with our spirit friends so they can give us the benefit of their wisdom. And as a result, we can gain a different perspective on life, which means having choices and options we may never have realized were available to us. So when I go into the deep trance state, I won't know of anything that happens until after the program. When they bring me back again. So that means that you don't have any interference when you're listening to the program of me or my mind, because you really wouldn't want that, while Gregory is communicating and using my physical body. So I'm going to go and do that right now and miss the entire show. Of course, that means that actually about a third of my life is in effect missing. And anyway, have a great show, everyone, and
see you when you get back, Mick.
See you, and do that.
Okay,
bye.
Yes, Gregory is the spokesperson for a group of spirits of greater intelligence called the White Cloud Group, and they consist of eminent scientific minds of all description. They've come to help us to understand the nature of our existence and hopefully to steer us towards a more harmonious future. The White Cloud Group are an educational group responding to a need by those of us who are searching for answers but didn't know who to ask. And they were also responding to a need from our planet, because it's essential that we change our attitude towards it and hopefully make a difference. And basically they bring information that will help us to look at our world with a different perspective. So if you would like, as I say, to join us with a question, do phone in. It's 888-815-9756. That's USA and Canada. Free phone. And international callers, it's not free phone. It's 001-530-876-3222. So like I say, it's general questions to do with anything that you think a spirit guide can help us with. Obviously, they are watching over us and seeing what we're doing with our planet as well. And so, you know, it's not just metaphysical questions necessarily. If you think that you would like an opinion of somebody, a group of this intelligence that have got together just specifically to do this with us, for us, then this is your chance. We do private readings, so if you would like to go on our website, www.spirit-teaching.com, to the Akashic Readings page, we do private personal readings, phone readings, anywhere in the world. So have a look on there and see if you would like that. As I say, this isn't that sort of program, but you can have a private reading from Gregory, and you can find out all about that on our website. So, I do believe Gregory's with us now.
Yes, with love and light, blessings as ever, dear friend, little bird. Hello, hello, hello.
Hiya.
And greetings, everyone. It is with love and light, of course, from our side of life. We welcome you in this little soiree of words and communication. We understand you may have many questions forming, or just simply buds of questions that feel as though you are reaching an alignment of within your life. We understand people are of different pathways, different forms of communication, and regard themselves in different light from one another. These are not angles of depression. They are not ways in which we cast aspersions from one person to another, but rather that we acknowledge all in the light of God, yes.
Well, difference is good.
Absolutely. It's essential. One is not a clone of someone else. That means to say that the amount that of which you take upon the intelligence of someone else simply because you read their book does not mean to say that immersion is complete. In fact, you should really temper it with your own understanding and from your own veracity viewpoint of how you see your life, your work, your earthly journey.
Okay. Would you like to talk about anything else before we go to questions?
Not really, okay. My friend. No, I feel that the situation is really open to you. I understand that the potential is for interesting information. However, we wish to bring this unfoldment about.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the whole point of the group, you know, you've said often, is that you don't want to just come and lecture us about things that you feel that we should know necessarily.
No, but, absolutely
you know,
not.
Open
that's
minds
right.
And answering questions that are there, then that's what it's, you know,
absolutely.
Most beneficial.
Yes.
Okay, so, well, I do have some email questions that have come
very
in.
Well. Yes, yes, yes. Right.
Okay, let's go with this one. This is from Chris in Devon in the UK. Can Gregory talk about other archetypical groups of spirit like the OPACs? You have to just quickly run through OPACs to let other people know as well about those.
Yes, so very well. So let's look at the blank canvas that is your spirit. Your spirit, in every and each and every case of those who walk the earth, became aligned to having a separate entity, being a separate energy from that which is God, not something that was misaligned by God or something that was then lesser than. And I'm talking about God in not in respect of the man with long white hair and a beard and white flowing robes in the archetype of human understanding, that is, an icon of human form and behavior, but rather the energy of the creation of all life, if you like. So you're a part of that. Your spirit is a part of that, has been in existence for millions and millions of years. And that's the same for everyone. No one's a new spirit. All beings who are having a physical life, no matter whether that is now or whether that is the case of thousands of years ago in human history. You are all a part of this group of spirit individuals who actually manifested and became separated from that which you aspire God to be. millions and millions of years ago, long before there was a planet of Earth. So in a sense, you would say, oh, well, that means then that all beings who are spirit before having a human existence were beings without a home. No, that's not true at all. It's actually that all spirit were and always have been at home wherever they found themselves. Now, for a certain section of beings, a certain segment of spirit, when they moved away from the creation of all life, that which you aspire God to be in your understanding of that energy, this section of people became, in a sense, attracted to having a form of physical life that was like a devotion, if you like. And these different beings, which we call OPAC, were beings who decided to have some form of physical life, as I say, in a sort of a resonant frequency way of coming to understand perhaps certain perceptions, certain conditions which meant that by having that physical life, they would learn a certain concept or endeavor of behavior. Not meaning that that meant that an OPAC would learn to ultimately take other life. These were always going to be behaviors of a type and form which meant traveling journeys toward expression, toward creating oneself, not in a view that one would aspire to be beyond someone else or better than someone else, but rather a view to understanding. And that concept of understanding from an OPAC point of view meant that their life journey of a physical state would not necessarily be that they would have to be an embodiment of a certain kind of genetic animal or evolutionary state of animal that was typical of the planet to which they were maybe attracted to. So it may be that they actually formed a sense of physical life themselves out of their own conclusion, out of their own understanding and deciphering the energy with which they wish to impart or interact with in their physical embodiment.
And this could have been anywhere, another dimension, absolutely, another planet.
Absolutely. In a different dimension, in a different universe, in a completely different setting or orientation from anything you are ever, ever likely to come across as a physical being.
Okay.
I hope you understand it. So this means to say then that the various different continuances of this have meant throughout millions of years of OPAC heritage that these different beings were attracted to some planet or some kind of existence or other. Not that that existence was perpetual. It wasn't. However, the existence was a long duration. Usually in terms of Earth years, it would come into about or around a figure of between 20 to 40,000 Earth years for this one single life of contemplation, of understanding and endeavor into realization and alignment of certain perplexing questions that would then seek to be answered by that being who was what we refer to as OPAC. That means to say that the life immersion was not necessarily continuous. It may well be that beings' immersion into physical life was so structured that the being's energy as an OPAC actually was on a certain key vibration and energy, and that it meant that as they're growing or as their understanding unfolded, so their vibration would change, and it may well have been that their vibration as far as other beings living in the same situation, if there were any at the time, would understand it, that they would actually see or witness the being called an OPAC would fade. The being OPAC would not necessarily communicate with any other being at all. It was oftentimes a life of singularity, a life of understanding, questing, but also revelation of understanding and perceiving certain kind of knowledge. So it meant that all of this breadth of understanding from different viewpoints would be something that would be embedded in that spirit personality. Now, added to this, you have to understand, each and every one of you, that as just because you're a spirit at this present time having a physical life existence does not mean to say that all spirit have to have a physical life existence. Indeed, the majority of those on our side of life have never bothered to have a physical life experience, and it's actually not necessary. Some would just simply have continued in their OPAC heritage. That history would be sufficient to absolutely enable them to endeavor their entire life journey in the ether world or in some other dimension without actually bothering to have a physical life experience.
But they could be physical on another, in another dimension, could they? Do they take form?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. So. Absolutely. Yes. So. This is the whole point.
So that it's as real to us as our Earth life is to us. That is, you know, because obviously to us, we have to think of it with our human brain.
Yes, yes.
You know, an analogy is that if we can't see ourselves, it doesn't seem real, if you know what I mean.
Yes, so that's right.
With form, let's say, for the sake of our intelligence, with form, yes. They could still have form on these other, in these other dimensions, on these other planets.
Yes, they still have a border,
yes.
A boundary.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
So their form occupies a certain specific space.
Mm.
However, that space may not be something that is aligned to any other kind of being, which is part of the reason why it is that when those on our side of life are actually maybe wanting to communicate with those on your side of life, they don't oftentimes get through, purely and simply because the vibration is at the wrong frequency.
Yes, our vibration or your vibration?
Either.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely, either. So in order to communicate from one dimension to another, from one variation of vibration to another, you have to have energy. And that energy has to be constructed in a certain way, has to be viewed in a certain instance.
Mm.
In order for you to be able to break through the barrier of your dimension to our dimension or vice versa or any other dimension. So it means to say it's part of the reason why ultraversally, you would have a situation of beings, perhaps from an ultraverse, who would not necessarily ever be seen by you, and they may never, and that you may never be seen by them. You see, and it may simply be
even though you're in the same room, as it were,
even in the same room, but not in the same dimension.
No.
So it simply means that part of that structure of the universe simply exists because vibration and energy fluctuate at a different density, at a different rate. So that's in a frequency respect. So when you're talking about human physical species, you are actually vibrating between around about 200 cycles per second to perhaps 800 cycles per second. And that is usually the density within which you can see physical beings. Anything greater than that, and you actually can't see them. You detect them maybe as a fleeting glimpse of something going through your periphery vision or some such thing as that, or as a light. But you only see them as a light because you're only seeing their reflection from the instance at which you acknowledge their prismatic journey, because simply their energy has traversed through your energy or clear to your energy and was simply caught by the sun or some other light form.
Yes. Okay. So Right, yeah. You were talking about how they...
Yes.
Yeah, sorry, because I sort of sent
no,
you
that's
off
quite
a tangent.
No, no, but no, very, that's quite all right. But
no, it was fascinating.
It was needed.
It was,
really,
absolutely.
So that people would really understand where we are all coming from, all heralding from.
Yeah.
So that means to say that the fact that you may or may not be OPAC is not held down to the soul group of which you are a part. And there are millions and millions, literally, millions and millions of soul groups of the human species. There are 6 billion beings presently living on the physical earth. And there are probably representing something in the region of 2.3 billion soul groups at this present time, having a physical earth journey. And that figure fluctuates greatly from one situation to another. When I talk about a soul group, I'm really talking about a behavioral pact. So it's like, in a sense, that's not taking into consideration situations like non-amicable behavior. It's not taking into considerations of extreme negative behavior. There is not ever a soul group which is aspired to do that.
No.
That is simply a recording of negative behavior that being has subjected themselves to unwittingly, maybe, or on purpose, to do with their environment. That means that they are at the key of the environment in which had born them as a physical being. Nothing whatsoever to do with their spirit.
Okay.
You cannot have a bad spirit. What you have are deflated or negative ego, negative energy, negative beings.
Overlays.
Yes, yeah. Overlays.
Yeah, physical world overlays
yes,
upon
that's
the
right.
spirit.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, quite so.
So out of the 6 billion people on the planet, how many people do you think are OPAC or were OPAC?
Probably something in the region of around a third of a billion, something like that. But it fluctuates.
Yes.
And oftentimes a being does not necessarily dictate, oh, I am an OPAC, you see?
Oh, absolutely.
The whole
not.
Situation
well,
is oftentimes no. that it's quite buried underneath the being because it's an attunement of that being's spirit.
Yes.
So it is going to depend upon whether the consciousness of that physical being is actually ever going to become aligned to their beautiful, pure spirit.
Yeah, but if they are lucky enough to have not have had too much physical negativity, like I say, negative overlay upon their spirit,
yes,
then, you know, hopefully they will become more aligned and have a sort of and more of an awareness to something other than, you know, deeper and more meaningful than this physical world life that they're having, basically. So we do get quite a few, really. Well, we get, it goes in waves, really. We
yes.
do and have had quite a few OPAC readings.
Yes.
But then that kind of makes sense, really, because they obviously have, you know, there is something there, that there's a spark there. That's been recognised.
Yes.
And
yes,
grown. You know,
yes,
so.
But they don't necessarily recognise it themselves.
Oh, no,
that's
well, they
the
wouldn't.
Point.
But the thing is, yes. you know, that's the thing is, when we come here, we miraculously don't know of anything anyway. I mean, that's the whole
that's
plan
right. yes.
of lives elsewhere in other worlds and the universes, the things that we've done in the spirit world, that who we've met, who we've known, what we've done, our expertise. I mean, that's the whole idea, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. Sometimes there are little glimpses of it.
Yeah.
Sometimes the situations of life before Earth, physical human life, is known, is recorded, and is a retractable, is a retraceable situation that is pulled through into the present physical consciousness, depending upon the alignment of that being and their, not necessarily their happiness, but or they're having to perhaps be happening to be living in a certain place that is very idyllic for that setting to come out. Sometimes they can be beings who are, in a sense, entrapped in quite a chaotic and quite disastrous situations.
I think, sort of going off track a little bit here, but with all of the negativity in the world at the moment, I mean, yes. it is quite bad,
yes,
to say the least.
Yes.
I think it seems to be harder for people to actually know what to do with their spiritual awareness, awakening, shall we say, that they have. So the automatic thing is to look for somebody else for the answers, which makes sense, obviously.
Yes.
But
that's right.
It's far more difficult now to actually go your own path, you know, and
that's true.
In any sort of contemplative method. At all.
Yes, absolutely so. You see, in centuries gone by, many an OPAC would actually have ended up being a Buddhist monk or some other kind of habitual situation which was really religiously orientated, or that they would become some kind of witch or some kind of being who was very much into the environment and very much in the situation of understanding perhaps medicinally conditions that they would bring about in order to ease other people's suffering and that kind of thing, that they would not have to learn necessarily, but that would just be already within them. So that doesn't mean to say that all people who are monks are now continuously being OPEC. That's not the case at all.
No.
In fact, actually, in point of fact, oftentimes we see that many people who take up one religious understanding or study or another are not necessarily religiously or beautifully or loving in their outlook either. Mm. It doesn't seem to necessarily transpire. One would think it should do, but does not necessarily mean that is the case.
No. I think that goes across the board with most things that we are sort of slightly disappointed about in people. But, you know, it's all about, you can't take anything on face value these days, unfortunately. But, okay, right. So basically, we've taken a little trip through the OPAC world. So Chris's question, really, about other archetypical groups of spirit, like the OPACs, I mean, is that something that is possible then?
Well, it's...
That you would call something else or...
No, there hasn't really been. That's my point, really. Mm. The nature of the situation appears to be that all spirit, or most, have been either that they went through some kind of OPAC heritage journey, which didn't single them out, or mean that they were better than, they just had other vehicles of expression and other vehicles with which they could identify and therefore be helpful to others in a certain way. That doesn't mean to say that people or beings who did not ever have that OPAC heritage were then lesser beings. The problem is that for human beings, they will always try to put labels on things and say that this is higher than that or whatever. Always trying to explain one as a more serious set of number than a less serious set of number further down the pecking order. So that is quite typical of beings, of all beings, I have to say, who have a kind of a pathway immersed in evolutionary status. It is a status facsimile, in a sense, of the human brain and mind to align everything to their own central purpose. I understand that. But that is a part of the reason why it is that in many respects, many physical beings, when they try to understand what spirit truly is, they actually cannot grasp it because there is always this notion of trying to attach something to it.
Well, yes.
To make it bigger or better than someone else, your next door neighbor.
Yeah, and rather than actually sort of, shall we say, coming to some conclusion of our own, when we suddenly even get the idea that of a possibility of something, we're on the internet, we buy a book, we talk to somebody, and then whatever we might have come up with ourselves has actually just flown out the window because we've got somebody else's idea then.
Yes,
and
that's right.
Isn't necessarily right.
Yes, and looked into their brain and acquired it. Oh, thank you very much. That answers that question. And you don't actually necessarily look at that question anymore, even though it may have been a completely invalid and incorrect answer because it came from someone else's duplicity, someone else's understanding and decision-making process.
Mm. So because an OPAC's life is so across the board, I mean, shall we put it like that?
Yes, absolutely.
Then that covers so many different areas, really, doesn't it? So, you know, you could be, I mean, look, we talk about extraterrestrial.
Yes.
Ultra-terrestrial.
Absolutely.
Life forms and everything. I mean, obviously, that's what we are. We are, I mean, you know, when we go somewhere else, that's what we are.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
So,
and that's exactly the same, my dear friend. If you, in fact, go as a, not a holographic experience, but if you go as your spirit.
Well, like an astral traveling.
Yes, yes, experience. Absolutely. There you are. You're an alien in someone else's land, you see?
Absolutely.
Hello, Earthling.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
And so you begin to understand then when it's a matter of perception. The shoe actually does fit both feet.
Mm.
You see?
Yeah. So an OPAC could have an existence in other dimensions, on other planets, and then obviously have an Earth life experience as well. And then after this, they might either stay in the spirit world or go somewhere else and...
Yes.
And do that. Oh, it's just so refreshing to even hear that that is possible, you know, without this fixation of this place.
Yes, and that is the same with you as a physical being. You're not going to come back here and do this all over again and go through the same boring routine or whatever it is that you're immersed in at this time. The point is that you have the universe.
Yeah.
So... the condition of having a human physical Earth life experience, yes, you're going to continue to be attracted to it after your passing, no matter when that is. Whether it's 2050, whether it is 2035, no matter when it is.
Mm.
The situation will be that upon everyone's passing, they will retain a certain amount of energy to do with the situation of physical Earth life because of your, not entrapment of it, but because of your attraction. And your attraction is something that doesn't mean to say that your journeys are incomplete. And certainly the journey of an OPAC doesn't mean to say that you are just aligned to one particular soul group. In fact, most soul groups have an OPAC within their ranks, within their number, within their understanding. And for some soul groups, there may be hundreds, if not thousands, of OPACs within that particular soul group. But that doesn't mean to say, oh, our soul group is much nicer than yours over there. Our soul group is this much brighter because we have this many OPACs, you see? That's really what the human endeavor, the human mind, the tribal instinct coming out.
Mm.
And what you have to understand are the notions and the messages that come from those tribal instincts as being just a part of your physical life. So you can put these down to, oh, that's just your human behavior. And then that will enable you to actually step past that and understand that when you try to ascend something or when you try to make more of your life because you're feeling that you're directed to doing that so that you can be of a higher vibration, as soon as you have that as a part of your mind intention, you are actually lessening your vibration. Because the state of being is exactly what it says on the tin. A state of being. That means that you don't have an aspiration toward it. You do not sink in terms of logistics How can I do this in order to facilitate this? The how-to is, in fact, extracted away from it. And all that you immerse yourself in is the pleasure of doing, the pleasure of being, of the partaking of not a ritualistic experience, but of a partaking of information, of sharing that, of being able to give love to someone who has not necessarily asked for it, but you just give it because you feel that it is your duty to do that, or it is within your kindness atmosphere. That is something that you paint in their life to make them feel happy, perhaps, about themselves. Not for you to feel happier about yourself because you've done an act of kindness, but simply because you recognize the desire and the need for it to be fulfilled. Was recognition enough? Not for you to glory within it, but purely the state of being.
Okay. Well, I hope that answers your question, Chris. We certainly went all over the place there, but that was really, really interesting. Okay. So I have another question here. It's from Josh, New York.
Yes.
Oh, it kind of sort of follows on quite nicely. If man evolved from monkeys and apes, why are they still here?
Why are the apes still here?
Mm.
And why didn't they all evolve into human beings? That's actually the same as if you were looking at the difference between a blackbird and another blackbird that their family tree or family lineage turned into a song thrush. So that means to say, why didn't all blackbird stay blackbird? Why did some become song thrush or others become a jay or another become some other singing being? The answer is quite simple. It's down to genetic mutation. So genetic mutation, in the Darwinian sense, and he was quite and perfectly true and right and understanding of the evolutionary pathway of all beings of within the physical side of life, except for the fact that he did not interact with or understand the very facet whereby there could be an influence which was beyond the Earth's evolution, and that could, in fact, have a some kind of a click or some kind of an influence within the genetic pathway.
Okay, can you explain?
Yes, so that means to say, as within human understanding, there were various interactions that took place from time to time with other beings from other planets. Doesn't mean to say that you're all aliens, but it actually means to say that everything is at some point or another from another planet. Not entirely, but through its DNA and genetics, it evolved perhaps from something else from another planet and then enabled the interactivity when in physical Earth time and matter, that it then became influenced by that matter, and then in order for it to survive within its journey, its evolutionary state and DNA made various different changes and chemical balances, which then helped to define it and redefine its journey and pathway. So that meant to say that the blackbird didn't stay being black. If you actually look at a female blackbird, it is brown and has very many of the internet markings of a song thrush within its coloration and within its the fact that it has the same kinds of feckles on its stomach and on the underside of its body as the song thrush has, or the song thrush has as a female blackbird. But in actual fact, what you will see is that is where the similarity stops, because the blackbird is a much more fulfilled bird, whereas the song thrush is a much leaner kind of being. So it changed specifically genetically and evolutionarily because of the pathway it took. That is not to say that one ceased to be a relative of the other. They continue to be that relative pathway. And that's part of the reason why they come from an identifying group within that hierarchy of dinosaur of which they were a part. So in this respect, when you are looking at human beings and their interaction, why are you not all monkeys? Well, you still are. You're just hairless, or you have a certain degree with which the archetype and DNA of your current evolutionary state as a physical human being means that you are born in this specific way, and you're still mutating and still changing. And this is exactly the same as when you are looking at this present time within a certain tribe or distinction, you will see that there are similarities which go right throughout their tribal heritage, and some similarities that will stop and change. For example, you will note that within some peoples of certain specific families, that they have a certain shape to their skull or a certain shape to that defines their lineage, in a sense, in a skeletal way. That is, in a sense, where their genetics and DNA are still struggling to maintain the reference, still struggling to maintain the shape and location. So it means that what you are observing is that imprinting pattern that defines what that body shape and interaction is going to be. So in a typical way, you would say that a certain peoples, let's say the people from the Serengeti or something like that, they have a certain body shape, color, and skin type, and also lineage in the way in which they hold themselves, tall and thin. People from this particular tribal group have a certain way of stature, of holding themselves and the way that they walk. And that's exactly the same as if you observed a Bedouin, whether upon a camel or horse, or whether simply standing or walking through the desert. You would see that the Bedouin himself or herself actually has a certain kind of archetype which is in their lineage as a part of, not that they're performing something of a knowledge pathway that was then handed down to them knowingly. You must walk this way because you are a, yes?
Yeah, they didn't go to class.
A Bedouin. You don't go to Bedouin class. What you do is that you simply walk that way because of your genetic heritage dictates it. It's not a learnt behavior, but simply part of the practice of that is the being. And that is also true in respect of how they acknowledge each step they place in front of each other as their walk upon the earth. That's a part of, in a sense, in a Bedouistic way, a spiritual experience. When you are, that's not a taught experience. Mm. It's something that's deep within them. Mm. It's a part of their genetic. Mm. So that means that's nothing to do with monkeys, I know. But in that respect, you would see that various different monkey-orientated groups will have their own specific genetic that identifies them, helps to identify them as part of that family, but tribe and part of that identity of membership is in respect, not learnt behavior, although some of them are. Some of them are also deeply genetically held and felt. That meant to say that you will never, ever have a being who heralds from a troop of gorillas, whether they are lowland or highland gorillas, that would never ever become human, purely and simply because their genetic is of lowland or highland gorilla.
Yeah, because basically what happened was this genetic imprinting from from elsewhere, not from this planet. And
yes,
the ones
right.
that weren't are these...
The ones are the ones that stayed the same.
Stayed the same.
And if human beings were not interactive with these other beings from elsewhere at that time, then they would have carried on in the way and guise of various others who eventually, in fact, became extinct. Like, for example, Neolithic peoples. Like, for example, other peoples who had different kinds of the journey in which they foraged and tried to make their existence in having their type of Earth human existence, but they didn't become that because they passed and became extinct before they were able to become a part of that tribal heritage. So it was simply, and that's the same as if you were looking at ants or squid or anything else. You are looking, in fact, at beings who have been that for millions and millions of years.
So is this why, because you said it happened 4 or 5 times, did you? This
The whole situation happened about 3 times, I think. Maybe 4 or 5 within certain groups. Some right. groups, I'm not saying that it happened across the board to all beings.
No.
You see? Mm. But that it was just, in a sense, some groups had more visitations, in a sense, more interactive states. And not with just one group from the universe of extra or ultra-terrestrial, but maybe a number. Mm. So for some groups of peoples who have become human in the modernistic way, that they interacted maybe lesser or to a greater extent.
Mm.
You see, and some tribes may have actually taken that upon themselves as part of their interactivity, but maybe only for perhaps a short window of perhaps 100 years or 150 years. And then it simply became that the beings who had interacted with them migrated elsewhere.
So was this always a positive situation, though?
Or, no, not necessarily. It could have quite easily have been quite a negative one. Mm. After all, there are some beings who actually behaved in the cannibalistic sense.
Mm.
That I'm not saying that necessarily that cannibalism itself was always inherently going to be something that was evil, negative, or something else like that. It's just a matter of looking at different evolutionary fields and how those animals, as per se, actually grew and evolved. In saying this, you could say that there are certain chimpanzee groups whereby they become cannibalistic themselves and will actually eat one another, much like the Chinese in some quarters.
Mm. Oh,
now,
absolutely.
You see?
Well, that was, I was thinking about that.
And same too with Hawaiians and other racial groups.
I was thinking that there are more leanings in certain cultures, races, shall we say.
Yes, yes. That's right.
On this planet that have more of a tendency than others.
Yes, that's right.
Through seemingly no other reason than that they just do.
Yes, that's right. And that really, you have to remember, is for some tribes is part of the situation that is drawing into their distinction, purely and simply because it's part of how they dominated other tribes.
Mm-hmm.
And how they managed their domain, in a sense. And for other tribes, it was simply how they managed to eke out their existence and continue to then enable them to rise above other groups.
Mm.
So you have not to think of everything in a romantic or emotionally fielded way of that everything has to attract to, oh, that's a very negative act because that being's eating some other being.
Mm. Yes.
Because that's unfortunately always going to be the way that humanistic peoples see it. That does not detract from the fact that if you really want to become independent and in that purest state of being, as your spirit would really truly wish you to be, that you refrain from eating any.
Being. So, in this on this subject, then the Sasquatch is another offshoot from.
That's right.
Our our path.
Yes, basically. That's right. But a much earlier
yes.
one, yes. Yeah. That's right. So, and in actual fact, of course, they actually maintained much of their in-depth sincerity and alignment to the earth plane, and also, of course, to the other group of beings who are equally sentient in that respect, like, for example, within wolves and whales, well, wolves and whales being part of the same family, and within the whole rest of the evolutionary pathway, when you find beings who are completely spiritually evolutionized, in a sense.
So with the Sasquatch, is that a case where, was that a case of a specific race that interacted to create that being, or is was that, well, it would have to be, wouldn't it?
Yes, I understand that that was actually nothing, however, to do with the human evolutionary state. Okay. That was something which happened really to do with various different kinds of guerrilla groups. And because of the fact that guerrilla groups were far more gentle than any other primate at the time, they were never aggressive.
But the Sasquatch has some absolutely wonderful abilities and skills.
Yes, that's
that
right.
No other person on this planet has. So
yes, and not even gorillas have.
No, exactly.
Yes,
so
yes, that's right.
So how does that happen then?
Well, because they managed to maintain a deep-seated sense of spirituality and understanding, really, that enabled them to take on the environment as a part of their own device to maintain their security.
So so basically, they have refined their spirit essence to
yes.
such a point that, for instance, they can become invisible and that sort of thing. And
to the human eye, yeah.
To the human eye, absolutely, yeah. So and the other things that they can do, wonderful things that they can do that we can't, basically.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, okay, so that's not evolution in the same way as that we were talking about before. That is that they've
that's
done
right.
that themselves then.
That's right. Yes, on purpose.
Yes.
Yes. And
on
in
their
spite
own merit.
Of in, yes, absolutely. So that's what we always find so exciting about them, because they were actually able to do it, and it wasn't something that was a tribal inference, a tribal state, but actually happens to all of them.
Mm.
And they don't have to nowadays actually think about it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just something that they are.
Well, yeah, and presumably something like that, because there aren't so many of them.
That's right.
That would be passed down anyway, because
yes.
their only teachers would be beautiful.
Would be others. Yes, that's right.
You know,
yes.
in essence.
Yes, and so they have to teach those ways to enable them as part of their survival technique in exactly the same way that a weaver bird would be taught to weave its nest.
Mm.
Yes, and do so with absolute dexterity and absolute charm and just wonder, really.
Mm, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so you can see that the way that spirituality can also induce certain behaviors which then enable that being, let's say, within a certain given family, then we can see how within a family of human race that people can enthuse a deeper sense of spirituality, not hierarchy, but spirituality within their offspring to enable them to really make a peace with, come at one with their beautiful spirit, so that all of that information of their deep history and heritage, of their own past pathway, of their beautiful, pure spirit, can become something that's adorning them, that's actually figuring in their life, in exactly the same way that all of these other beings that we have talked about have been. And that does not mean to say that they have to be opaque in order to have gone through this.
No, no. And going back to the Sasquatch, I mean,
yes.
basically what they've done is what we keep trying to and others obviously keep trying to get people to do themselves, you know, is to raise their vibration by tuning into their spirit. So,
but, and enabling those paths as well, dear friend, little bird, of the situations of telepathy and various other nuances.
That they can do,
yes, yes, quite so, and do so quite freely. That human beings can also do freely if they would only just step away from the conscious physical mind. That keeps them imprisoned, in a sense.
Okay, well. Well, that's been fascinating. Thank you very much, Gregory.
So, very well, my dear friend, little bird. Thank you so very, very much. God bless upon your journey. Be at one.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much for your questions, Chris and Josh. And like I say, you can send that in to me at enq@spirit-teaching.com. If you have your other questions, I can either ask singular questions or I can do a whole show if you send me, you know, quite a few and on the topic that you are interested in. But anyway, for now, I'd just like to mention our website. That's www.spirit-teaching.com. And thank you so much for listening. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work on the wonderful bbsradio.com. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.